With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Rehap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm a little sleepy. I was in my bed before this, and I can't wait to go back, as I'm sure you share that sentiment with me.
Yeah, I wish I could say it's really late right now, but it's about 8:30 Eastern time, so yeah. And I'm in Central time, so I don't know what that says.
And this is like early for us podcasting usually, too.
It is. And like all day today, I thought it was Thursday, and it's Tuesday.
Me too! Oh, literally all day, I was like, oh, it's definitely Thursday. I was like, no, it's not. It's
that's
not
even close. Oh, that's so crazy. I was like, certain podcasts I have that like drop on a Thursday. I'm like, where is it? Why is it showing up?
I know, and I kept, like, my family, we usually get pizza on Thursday, so I was like, oh, well, I know we're having pizza for dinner, and I kept being like, no, it's Tuesday, what are we having for dinner?
Oh, so thrown this week. Maybe it's all these, the jet lag from the hometown dates or something. But we do have the hometown dates. We were kind of excited about, you know, seeing, it was, you know, of course, they show this dramatic preview. Do you think this hometown episode lived up to what they were hyping last week?
I do. I feel like everything we thought was going to, like, we were told was going to happen, it happened for the mm-hmm. most part.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. So I don't feel like I outright lied to like I have in the past.
Right. And I think, I don't want to speak for you, but this ending of who was eliminated, I was not predicting. Whereas last week we had a very predictable two people that went home. So I thought that made it intriguing up till the end, or, you know, like old school Bachelor and Bachelorette.
Yeah, like it really, it truly felt like any one of these guys could have left because they all seemed like they were in a really good spot with Rachel.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So let's start with Eric's date back in Baltimore. So they kind of start out in kind of the downtown area of the city. Talks about, well, this is a really, you know, beautiful spot, but this doesn't really represent where I grew up, and I want to take you there. Rachel says, definitely, that's what I came here to see, is like to get to know you better. And then they go more to his old neighborhood. He sees an old friend. What'd you think of the first part of the date?
I really liked it. Like, I feel like Eric and Rachel could sit on a box in the middle of nowhere and have the best time together, just because they're both so fun. They have a great time together. They're funny. They're bright. Like, Eric has really, really blossomed over the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. And I think he is who I want to win.
Okay, interesting. I can see that.
Fit together so well. And I don't see as much like diehard chemistry as I do between her and Brian, mm-hmm. but I just like them together a lot.
I agree. I think we get so focused on like, okay, based on how she's interacting, who is going to win and all these things. So I think I'd have to agree with your sentiments, and I'm just like more bummed out because it's like, okay, well, we see she has these seems like stronger feelings for Brian and Peter. So it's maybe too little too late for Eric. Like, he was,
I know, but I would
to
love
grow.
To be surprised.
Yeah, I would too. And I thought it was really kind of touching how his friend commented on, like, you know, just his character, and, you know, he hasn't brought a girl home since prom, and that just kind of made it more lighthearted rather than Rachel focusing on, oh my
you've
gosh,
never
she's
had
never
a girlfriend, you've never been in love, are you really ready for this?
Right. And then you think, okay, is the family visit going to be like intense or awkward? And it was like the most welcoming, vibrant, like so fun. And just like a fun group of his family that even though it seemed like there was maybe some, you know, difficulties with his parents when he was younger, that they've really like become closer as they've gotten older and forgiven each other. And like, I loved his aunt. She just seemed like really like into, you know, their relationship and without being like overbearing or anything. Mm-hmm. So the second part of the date was just dinner with the family. Let's see, as far as feelings go, did he said that he's
falling in love, I think.
Something like that, or like that he wanted to say, I love you, and that it's like he said, I love you, I think, and then he followed it up though with like, to me, that means I care about you. And I think Rachel took that as like, oh, it's not as strong of a feeling, or he doesn't know what it means. So I think maybe I was reading a little too much into it. I think he was just in the moment and that's just how it came out. But I think
he probably doesn't even like know how to word it correctly.
Right. He's just like, doesn't know the lingo. So that was a huge step. And I agree with you. He's really come into his own at the beginning of the season. I would not have predicted he'd be at the end.
No, definitely not.
We were looking at people like Josiah, maybe even Fred. Who else?
Basically anyone who's anyone. On Mike's team.
Yeah, exactly. No one on Mike's team was going to like make it. And Mike made them all. Yeah. So I don't know. This was, I don't know, just a really heartwarming date. And I was worried the whole time that he was going to go home. And it was like, it felt like maybe she's just like really excited that he got to the place of bringing a girl home and was just going to let him go there. So I was pleasantly surprised that he's staying till Fantasy Suites, and who knows, could be at the end. Let's see. The other thing that kind of stood out to me was that he seemed very mature about, hey, I don't know if this will work out, rather than she's the one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always a welcome sight as well. Like, none of these guys really seem too like delusional about it. Like, they're all mature. Anything else about this date?
No, I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed them together. I kind of hope he wins, and if he doesn't win, I think he would make an interesting bachelor. And this might be my extreme anti Brian stance. Who's Kevin? Kevin.
You're supposed to say Evan. You moved on to Kevin.
They rhyme. What can I say?
Maybe Evan is like, let's see, is Evan the guys you don't like, and Kevin is maybe more the lead or something? I don't know.
Oh my god.
To deconstruct this.
I just don't want Brian to be either.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, oh yeah, I really like Eric. I could see him as her husband or the bachelor, you know?
Right. Definitely. So speaking of Kevin or Brian, he had the next date in Miami.
And this date was the most I've ever liked Brian.
Okay. Tell me more about that.
I just, it felt like he kind of had his guard down in a way, like he wasn't trying to be this like cool, suave guy. He was just like in his city and he was having fun.
He had the city date.
Yeah.
Those are the dates we like.
We love the city date. And it's, you know, it's interesting to me, kind of. I mean, it is interesting to me that we had a hometown date in Miami last season. Mm. But this just had such a different feel to it. It was just like much more humble and just kind of like interesting. And it's like a world you don't see very often. And
yeah, I didn't even remember that there was a Miami date.
Yeah.
I love the playing checkers.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah. And they just have that chemistry. So the main storyline here was, how is his family going to react? Because his ex didn't get along with the mom. And then we meet his mom. And I don't know. What did you think? I didn't think she was like too intense, although she did threaten to kill Rachel. But it seemed all to be a joke and just kind of her language barrier.
Yeah, she kind of intense to me. And so it's his sister or whoever that was, because she kept saying
he said he's an only child.
Yeah, I know. But then there was this random girl who kind of looked like him. Was it a cousin or I don't know?
And we had like thunderstorm warnings here, so I could not read any of these things.
Oh,
so like,
okay.
I was like, wait, who's Eric's mom? Who is this girl? You know, all these things like that.
I didn't actually watch this episode live either. I had a work meeting last night, so I couldn't. So I watched it while I was at work today. So I wasn't like 100% focused on the screen the entire time. So it's dedication. I didn't really catch it either.
Yeah.
But they just kept being, they were very intense. They were like, his ex-girlfriend, she thought that it was just about her and she got Brian. And
oh, that's true. They kept saying, like, it can't be all about her. And so Rachel's saying, oh, of course, I really want to, like, be tied to the family. And maybe it's, like, because Rachel's so into Brian that she didn't pick up on. Maybe that's why I'm not reading it as intense as it was, because Rachel was just like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what I want. But maybe if it was somebody else, it would come off as, like, oh, my gosh, these people are obsessed with their kid.
And she kept being, like... The mother kept being like, he's the love of my life. He's all that's I have. True. And it's like, your husband's like standing 14 feet from you. Like, he's there.
Right. Yeah, she's not a widow.
And he's like a 37-year-old man. It's not like he's 18.
Like, right. And she's like, ooh, your haircut does not look like the way I like it. These kind of things. So, and maybe I can see it causing an issue once you're like established in the family. And it's like, wait a minute. Oh, you still answered your mom about this and this and this. And yeah, that's kind of funny. So let's see, anything else? Oh, the mom, like, sort of when she was alone with Brian and he was saying like, she's the one. And then she said something about like, you meet all these girls. Like, why is, you know, it wasn't.
Why do you have to go on TV? Why do you have to go on TV to find a girl?
Yeah. And she wasn't really saying like, how do you know she's the one? But just kind of like, really? Like, are you sure?
Would you rather him find someone on Tinder?
Yeah.
Mrs. Brian's mom.
Or in the club. On the player. Yeah. So I wonder if like that was a dig at like, hey, you like 10 years ago, 13 you years ago, this. You thought you found someone or you tried this. So kind of funny. The dad wasn't really involved in the conversations at all. So you kind of know where, you know, who is like calling the shots in that family. Although there's always stuff on the cutting room floor as well. And anything else about this date? He said, I love you.
Of course he did.
She loved it.
And I was like,
I thought he said it before. I didn't even.
He was falling, I think.
Oh, okay. That's the move. That works.
I was buying into this relationship. Like, finally he had me on board.
Okay.
Until they started making out. I was like, this is why I hate him. He's just like, he...
too much.
I was just like, nope, I'm out. I'm nope, sorry, you lost me, buddy.
Yeah, that's funny. Although I thought it was better than jumping ahead to Peter, where like she was already in the car and he's just like, oh wait, I should probably kiss her goodbye. That probably wasn't a good move either. So yeah, I can see how with Eric and Rachel it's like not uncomfortable to watch them make out. They're like, it's not over like sloppy, it's cute. They're just very like, they just jive well together. And I don't know. But to me, it's just like the contrast of this date, like the chemistry just really stood out more almost in just how she was talking about Brian and just like, oh, like,
you could that's just, what I was like, waiting see for. In her eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's good that he won us over with some things on this date, and it'll be interesting to see.
Right before he lost us.
But. Right, right. But the roller coaster ride, that's Brian. Maybe that's what's keeping her interested as well. And yeah, that was Brian's date. We'll see how it goes next time. The fantasy suites might be really intolerable for us. And let's see, Peter.
Oh god. If there's like insertion noises we can hear from the outside, like, no, I can't watch this show anymore. Oh my gosh.
The slurpy noises that they've done in the past. Yeah.
Oh god. Please no.
Yeah. Do we know where they're headed for fantasy dates? I can't remember if they said at the end. If they did, I don't remember.
I have no. Oh, Spain.
Oh, really? Well, that'd be cool. That's different. They haven't done that before.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter's date back in Madison. Very nice city. Were you excited for this date?
I was, because Peter's hot.
Yeah, just to watch it. But he was a little, I don't know, lackluster on this date, I felt like. What did you think?
I totally agree. Like, he was almost like a soft blanket.
It's not always a bad thing. Not if you want to curl up in bed, but this was just like, he doesn't really pop off
exactly the screen.
So, and you know, it was like more, he was sort of this dreamy catch. Like she liked seeing him interact with his niece, but it felt a little more like she was idealizing him a little bit. Maybe like we're guilty of sometimes. Like I just feel like he's just so like, wow, the perfect package. But I don't really see the strong chemistry there like I do with her and Brian, or even with her and Eric. What do you think?
Or even her and Dean, I felt had more
definitely
fireworks than this.
Yeah, so his chemistry wasn't really popping for us, but he did also introduce her to some of his friends. And we don't always see this on these dates. It was kind of unique with Eric just bringing one friend along who then kind of hung out with the family. But what did you think of Peter inviting her out to like a, is it like a triple date with two other couples? I don't even know the phrase.
I like it. I like these kinds of things. I feel like people are often like more themselves in front of their friends than they are their family.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt more natural and more fun. And I think this was like the most Peter-ish Peter we saw this episode.
Yeah, that's probably true. I think, let's see, Chris and Whitney went on a friend's date back on that season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's probably really good for the people, the contestants, to get to know that person better. Seeing how they are with their friends and just kind of who their friends are. Like, this is the group I'd be hanging out with.
Yeah, can I get along with them?
Like, yeah. And so it seemed like that went well. Let's see. Anything else that stood out to you from this date?
His mother said that he's definitely ready for a commitment, but he's not necessarily ready for a proposal. So I think this is the storyline we see probably every season where it's like, oh, I really like this guy, but I don't know if he's ready for this. And then at like a certain point, the switch flips and he's like, I'm so ready for this. I like,
yeah,
I know you're the one, like, you know what I mean? So I feel like this lead up is kind of bullshit anyway, but
yeah. And I think there's those kind of middle seasons of this franchise where it was just really common to like, well, I'm not ready to get married, but here's a ring, or I want you to be my girlfriend. And I think that they really have taken like a hard stance, like that is not okay. And whether it's they find a lead that doesn't want that and won't accept that, or just like they're really pressing that either way. Like, I think, you know, it's very normal for Peter to be like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to get married. Like,
we met 6 weeks ago. Yeah. Like,
but it doesn't sound like that's something that will sit well with Rachel. Although,
I mean, that's something you see like often, is that these engagements are long usually.
Mm-hmm.
Like Caitlin and Sean have been engaged for 2 years. JoJo and Jordan have been engaged for over a year at this point.
It's true.
You know,
they don't come off the season with like a date ready to go.
No. And that's good. That's, you know, awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, Ben and Lauren, they broke up, but they had a long engagement. Yeah,
and I feel like Sean and Catherine had like not like a super long engagement, but I think it took till like the next year for them to get married. So,
yeah. And they had the wedding special. So they had to kind of work on it. ABC's timeline, no matter what.
But like probably the quickest one was like Jade and Tanner.
Oh, definitely. Like they had to be ready for next Bachelor Paradise season, right?
Yeah. So they were like, they like met and were married within 7 months, I think.
Oh, wow. That is very fast.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she should be like, isn't she due anytime soon? I feel like her bump is growing on Instagram.
Yeah. I know she's in her third trimester.
Okay.
So probably September, I think.
Yeah. And Evan and Carly too, just like 1 year. So Bachelor in Paradise moves a little faster, but they can devote their entire time, even though it's a shorter time span, just hanging out with that person if they want.
Yeah. And a lot of people have said that on like podcasts. We talked a couple weeks ago about how we have both really been enjoying the Ben and Ashley I podcast. And, you know, something that they mentioned on that, Ashley says, like, sure, it's a quicker time, but like you're spending all of your time with that person in The Bachelor. You know, you maybe spend like 10 hours with them.
Right. And you're not getting these elaborate dates, you know, at the most, like maybe an overnight somewhere. But most of the time you have this downtime. You don't have like the perfect makeup all the time. You're sweaty, so you can get sick.
Speaking of Bachelor in Paradise couples, I did a little bit of a deep dive on Lacey and Marcus the other day.
Oh, really? What brought that on?
Oh, God, what did bring? Oh, I was looking through my like Facebook on this day and someone had posted on my wall the Us Weekly article about Marcus being like, I feel played by Lacey. So I was like, I wonder what they're up to these days.
Okay.
So they're both dating someone who looks very, very similar to each other.
Oh, weird.
Like Marcus's girlfriend looks a lot like Lacey and Lacey's boyfriend looks a lot like Marcus.
Oh, my goodness. That is really funny. Wow.
Some people just have a type.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, that's really funny. I thought it was interesting that his mom was like, I think he's ready to start a family and like be committed, but maybe but not like, marriage.
Okay.
Like, so is he just like really like against marriage? You know, like maybe. One of those people that's like, I don't need the paper.
Yeah, maybe.
That could be.
That'd be fun. Yeah. That'd be a storyline.
Yeah. Maybe that'd be interesting.
Because, you know, I actually think that would be a rather interesting topic to cover on The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Somebody who's like, I don't agree with marriage, but I like long-term commitment. Is that something that you're willing to do with me? Like, is a ring really that important to you? Or is it just commitment?
And it would be kind of a smart move if someone just wanted the stalling tactic. Like, they could just say that as an excuse. Like, yeah, I'll give you a ring because it's like a free ring. But, you know, they can work that out in the fantasy suites. Obviously, the producers wouldn't like that. So,
yeah,
that's interesting. Yeah, so they said goodbye. And as I mentioned before, I just thought it was kind of funny that he just, like, I almost thought, I'm like, is he not going to kiss her goodbye? Like, what's going on here? But he just did the move where you're, like, kissing her while she's sitting down. Like, it just felt a little, like, rushed. Like, okay, like, head off now. Whereas, you know, the deep makeout that she had with Brian didn't really compare.
That's the sound of Brian making out with people.
Yes.
It's like a vacuum.
Ugh. So, of course, the date that was saved for last...
Of course.
Dean's date.
Yeah.
Which was hyped up and it's in Aspen.
I think we should look at this date away from the like religious change of his father, because I honestly feel like that had almost nothing to do with like the storyline of this date in their conversations.
No, and Dean actually had an Instagram post. I don't know if you saw it, but I'm gonna try to pull it up. Deanie Babies.
Literally the best Instagram handle you could possibly have.
Yeah. I mean, he had to get the underscore in there, but that's a classic move, right, Haley?
Yeah.
So
at least it's not at the end.
Yeah. It was kind of previewing the episode, and he says, hometowns are 2 days away, and I'm asking for a favor. When I said my father was eccentric, I was not referring to his Sikh faith or the turban he wears on his head. I'm not asking you to spare his feelings or mine, but instead to be cognizant and accepting of the millions of people that belong to the Sikh community. Although he and I are not close, I respect my father's decision to follow his heart and pursue the life he has chosen. Let us not criticize him for his appearance or his beliefs, because by doing so, we are disparaging an entire faith and culture that include millions of people. And I know we are all better than that. That is all for now. Hashtag end rant. So that was really well said. And I think it was clear in the episode that that wasn't what it was about. Like, he just explained to Rachel, like, this is his name now and he's a member of this faith. But really what it came down to, like, the tension between them was that he hadn't been involved in his life since his mom died at those formative years.
It truly had nothing to do with the faith he followed. Not even a little bit. Like, if you watch this with no, like, with your eyes blindfolded or like the screen wasn't working, I feel like that wouldn't even play into it or into the conversation. It was truly, truly about the fact that Dean felt abandoned. And I thought it was really interesting to see how affected Dean's dad was still about Debbie's death, even after, you know, he's remarried, and that's something we saw in the episode.
Yeah.
And we didn't see a lot from his new wife, and that's fine, but like, she seemed very understanding and very like comforting, the fact that, you know, and I like the moment where he gave out the feathers, saying like, you know, this was something that Debbie loved, and mm-hmm. you know, and it's like, yeah, how do you, like, obviously I empathize for Dean. I feel so bad for him. But like Dean's father can't understand what it was like to not have a mother anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Dean can't understand what it's like to not have the love of your life with you anymore. Somebody who you thought was going to be with you for the rest of your life.
Right. And I mean, his dad kind of explained it to him that he didn't know how to do the things to parent in the way that the mother did. Like, he was focused on earning money and paying the bills and supporting that way. And he kind of would say things like, well, I look at how you turned out, and I think I was a pretty good dad. Like, he just has a very different view. And I think it was very tough for him to be confronted in that way, in that setting.
Like, absolutely. Because how much would it hurt to, like, to be told essentially that you didn't do a good enough job, and like, he really tried. And I'm not blaming Dean for having those feelings at all. Mm-hmm. He was probably so lost, and you know, where were his siblings during this time? And we saw a conversation with his sister
mm-hmm.
about how she's so proud of him because he's so strong and she's so weak. It's just like, it's just like a lot of complicated things, you know, intertwined. And
yeah, and it sounds like not
working for them.
It sounds like none of them were really that close, whereas I felt like the conversation they showed with Rachel and the sister seemed very normal, very nice. But then when Rachel mentioned to Dean, like, hey, I talked to your sister, it seemed like he had this weird reaction, like, oh, how did that go? And so maybe it's just like he's been so removed from all of them that he doesn't really connect with any of them now. And it just,
and I think that's completely, completely true. And it was really interesting when Rachel tried to have a conversation with Dean's dad. He like tried for a minute and then was like, you know what? No, I can't do this. This is just like, I'm not in the right headspace for this. And I think that's fair. He just kind of had like a really like emotional bomb dropped on him, and he just couldn't deal with it in that moment. And he couldn't like sit down and pretend to have like a normal conversation with Rachel after something like that, which is understandable.
Yeah, for sure. And it definitely, when he said that too, it's like he looked over at the camera. I was like, okay, no, you know, it's sort of like that probably played into it a lot as well. And if he had been talking to her after he already talked to Dean, then it's just like he's already in an elevated, you know, state of just, okay, this is a lot to take in. And, you know, he hasn't seen his son in a long time, and it's had been all going well. And it probably was like, you know, if you think about if you've been in whatever situation, estranged from someone for a little bit, or there's just a rift, and then you like make a sign of like, okay, let's call a truce, or let's just like see how it goes, let's repair this, that like, that's a big step. And then, you know, he's probably feeling really like, I don't know, emotional about that, and like, hey, this is going better than I thought. And then to have that kind of dropped on him, like, okay, but we're also going to work through all our issues right now in this setting. That, you know, that's just, yeah, a bomb being dropped on you.
It's a lot. And it's a fair reaction, I think. You know, if anybody was watching this thinking 10 years of like anger was going to be solved in one night because this hot girl showed up.
TV camera showed up.
Yeah. What were they thinking? Because obviously that's just not how things work. And, you know, if you really want this, if you really wanted to view this, have a happy ending. Well, I don't know what show you wanted to watch, because this isn't it.
Right. And it's actually,
I just think anyone who's watching this could have known that this wasn't going to end in a happy, we're all holding hands kind of way, because it's just, there's just too much real life in between.
Mm-hmm. And there would have been like, you know, I could see a scenario, I suppose, where someone realizes they're on TV and they want to put on like a brave face, but that would have been, you know, or just look good to the cameras and say what, you know, your kid wants to hear. So this was actually more authentic to just who these two individuals are. And I, you know, it's not blaming Dean for throwing it on at him, because obviously it was like an orchestrated, like, you need to like bring this out and let's like solve this. And I was listening to Caitlin Bristow's podcast, which a lot of our listeners, you know, we mentioned it before that we hadn't checked it out yet, but they recommended it. So I've listened to a few, and in her recent one, she was talking to the dentist Cupcake from her season. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about how on the show, when you're a contestant, like all day long, you're talking about your feelings. You're like being pulled into the in the moments, and not even just like the feelings for the lead, but just your feelings about like, oh, what did that mean to you in your past or all these things. And she said that when she left Chris Soule's season, she'd be like getting up at 9 a.m. wanting to talk to her mom, like, mom, can we talk about my feelings? And just like, it's so intense. She's like, I don't even care about my feelings. I never did. And now I'm like a sap. And so all these like guys are like probably working through some issues. And so Dean probably is confronting things he hadn't had to.
Yeah. Especially since like Rachel's bringing it up all the time.
Yeah.
You know, on every date, it's like, so let's dig deeper into this. We're like, you know, he's probably told his friend, like, listen, this is something I don't talk about. So he's probably literally hasn't talked about it in like 2 years since he last saw his dad or last talked to his dad.
Yeah. And if you think about when the age he was when his mom died, 14 or 15, that like the strategy when you have no one to go to is going to be like, not talk about it, not think about it. It's going to be
to internalize it. And I think we saw that a lot during this episode where, you know, when he was saying that he was really terrified and he was kind of like laughing, and that's his, and we saw it throughout this entire season. Anytime he had to like be forced to bring up an emotional thing, he would like laughed because like that's just how he could deal with it.
Mm-hmm. And I think probably the challenge for him about his dad's faith is more just like, that's he, if his dad wasn't present in his life, he didn't really see how he came about that or understood that transition that his dad made, or probably wasn't involved when he met the new wife. And, you know, just if he had been still present. Yeah,
he
said
he met the new wife 2 times.
Right. So it's, he just doesn't know his father. He knows like the guy that was there up to age 15, and now he's a totally different person and who abandoned him. And so that's really kind of where it lies. So in terms of Rachel's reaction, how do you think she handled everything?
I mean, besides letting Dean go at the end of the episode, I think she handled it well. And I think she did what you want from a partner, which is to be by your side.
Mm-hmm.
And to be like, it's okay, I'm here for you. Feel your feelings because I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, she was more comfortable than he was because she didn't have the issues to deal with. Like, she's eating the food he made, and she's... and whereas Dean like just was like, oh, I already ate, and just kind of didn't seem, you know, he probably just lost his appetite because he's just so like nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, wanting to talk things through and making sure that she, you know, she had no problem lying on the floor doing all these things, was like kind of enjoyed the whole setting and everything, and just forming that opinion about how he grew up and getting to see that and how this changed him. And then in terms of like her decision, what role do you think it played? Because I have to think it had to have some, you know, if you're thinking about merging your life with someone and taking on the challenges that somebody else has to deal with.
And I wonder if part of it was not like that Dean and his father don't have a good relationship, and that's why Rachel didn't pick him. It's more of like Dean isn't ready to fully confront those emotions in a way that matches how Rachel would confront those emotions at this point in her life.
That makes sense. Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to mention about this particular hometown is on another podcast, Ben and Ashley I's podcast. They were talking, I think it was when they were talking to Chase, which he was just kind of promoting stuff that he does. But anyway, they did talk about how at that point that Dean, one of his friends, was on this date and met Rachel, but it just made the like hit the cutting room floor. So they were just going to show like this dramatic side of things, and they probably had a great time and everything went well, and they're just not going to show that. So
yeah,
that's kind of unfortunate too, that probably for, you know, Dean and his friend to not have that represented and just to like focus only on this. And so, yeah, I think it really came down to kind of where Dean is at across the board, his age and all of that. But I still was thinking that, you know, based on how they really clicked and how she supported him and that he allowed her, you know, some people would just say, no, I don't want you to meet my family. We're only going to meet my friends. And that he allowed her to visit them. I thought he was going to for sure make it to final three. So that was the shock at the end.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising. And I was sad because I like Dean. He's really grown on me this season. But don't worry, Amy. We don't have to say goodbye to him quite yet.
No.
Because almost immediately after last night's episode, pretty much every source that talks about The Bachelor on the internet said that he's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise. How do you feel about this move? Do you think they're blowing their load a little early? Like, do you think they should have kept him for The Bachelor? Because, like, it's not even, like, it's not even, like, Bachelor in Paradise was filmed in March and that we didn't, like, they didn't know that Dean would be such a big hit.
Right.
Like, they knew that people liked Dean during the season. By the point he probably went 2 weeks ago.
Right.
They probably had a good understanding that, you know, people like Dean a lot.
Yeah. How do I feel about it? I think there's like an archetype for The Bachelor, even though Nick was sort of like different from that. But I think they're leaning more now towards like older and like more like suave, if that makes sense. Like Dean is like really likable, but like they want like the guy who's going to be all about like making out with different women. And I feel like Dean.
I guess, but like maybe I'm like looking back on things with more rose colored glasses than we, you know, had during the time. But I feel like Ben's season of The Bachelor was probably one of our favorite seasons to cover. And I feel like Dean falls more in that category than in a, like a Nick.
That's true. Ben wasn't much older, really. Wasn't he like 26?
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's that Ben has like the Dean comes off as mature, but in a different way than Ben, whereas Ben like just seems older, whereas.
Yeah, like Dean definitely seems younger than Ben, even though at this current time, Ben is only like a year or two older than Dean.
Yeah. So maybe. Yeah. And Ben wasn't like the type to just be like a player or really suave, but he did seem like very marriage minded, I guess. And maybe that was, like,
and I guess maybe Dean doesn't seem so marriage minded. So maybe that's the difference.
And he kind of reminds me of like a Jared or a Wells or a Tanner, like has some of those qualities that like fit well with like.
But those are all people I would have loved to see as The Bachelor.
Oh, totally.
Jared.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I feel like I literally can't remember what I said last week or what I said 20 minutes ago. So maybe I didn't say this at all, but I feel like I probably said during JoJo's season that I would have loved Wells as The Bachelor, the next Bachelor.
Yeah, he just didn't keep her around long enough. There was something funny. It was a different, not to plug all these other podcasts, but Ashley Eye's podcast where she talked to Wells, and it was, he said something about how when he was on JoJo's season, that one of the producers left to go work on Paradise. And when the producer was leaving to go to Mexico, she's like, see you there, see you in Mexico. And he was like, what do you mean? I'm going to end up with JoJo. And so it just is so illuminating that like while they're on set, they just, everyone else knows. It's just the contestants don't know who is making it or who's like a strong contender because they're talking to the lead and they're hearing everything. But the fact that they were so cavalier about it, even like to these contestants, really just like reframed it in my mind that, okay, a lot of these guys might already have big clues as to, you know, it's not working out. Or the podcast with Caitlin and Cupcake, he was talking about he could just tell the chemistry with Sean, so he just sort of wasn't shocked.
It's funny because in Ben and Ashley I's podcast this week or last week or the week before, I truly
binge, you don't know.
I have no idea. But he said the same thing. He was like, Ashley asked, because they were talking to Luke Pell, too. And Luke said, yeah, I would have absolutely proposed to JoJo at the end of that experience if I stayed. Mm-hmm. And Ashley asked Ben, like, would you have proposed to Caitlin? And he's like, honestly, I don't know, because it would have felt really weird because I knew what a strong connection Caitlin and Sean had, that it would feel weird, like proposing to my buddy's girl kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder if that's one of the reasons that they were like, it seemed like the producers were down on that season, because it was just like she couldn't hide the chemistry, I guess.
Yeah.
Couldn't play the game. But yeah, I think in some cases they're just like, hey, like, you should just get ready for Mexico, or like when they're in the limo, like, we'll see you there. So they don't really have to cry the tears for that long, I don't think, if they made an impression on the show. So I am looking forward to seeing him in Paradise, even though you and I, of course, like, we have our feelings about Paradise coming back. They had a trailer released, a promo, and I was not a fan. Did you see this promo?
I did. And you expressed to me that you thought it was kind of tasteless, and I totally see where you're coming from. But I always kind of feel like Bachelor in Paradise is pretty tacky.
Right.
So it's just kind of like, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. And it's kind of like, well, of course they're a little tacky with it. They're a little tacky with everything.
Yeah. I like it when they're tacky about, like, oh, these cheesy
fun
intros.
Yeah.
Tacky dates. But when they're just like pulling all these tweets, like, you thought it was over.
Yeah,
and
like, that was kind of weird. I was a little on the weird side.
And we saved it. Like, we just like sped through the investigation and we came back, you know, just like had that vibe to me. Like, I obviously can't hide that something happened and that it was canceled, so they are addressing it, but I'm really curious to see how they address it. I have a feeling like they're going to kind of like when, you know, like Chris Harrison comes out at the beginning and says something about like that one Michelle on Bachelor in Paradise,
like when the guy
something like that,
broke both his legs because he jumped out of the room.
Yeah, hopefully they don't do a dramatic reenactment.
So,
oh
Amy,
my god, no, they will.
Don't
oh, no.
even put that into the universe.
Oh
please.
No, no. Oh my goodness. Yeah, they're gonna bring puppets in to reenact or something.
Stop! I can't. No, let's move on.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. So it is back, and they showed a few people who would be there: Iggy and I don't know who else.
Robbie.
Sarah, maybe? Robbie. Yeah.
Christina.
Yep. And so that, you know, that's the way they're going with it.
Okay, let's just, I don't know, dive into the undertow and let it drag us away, I guess.
Right. Let's go to, let's see, the rose ceremony, I guess. If we
oh,
don't,
yeah. Forgot about that.
It was a rose ceremony.
Dean didn't get a rose. The end.
I know, we were shocked,
and it was down to Peter and Dean, so it's kind of like,
oh yeah,
why are you doing this to me?
Just trying to, like, I guess I had a moment where I thought Peter could have gone because she had those doubts about his feelings, and I don't think he really made her feel stronger about them or more secure. But, well, we talked about Dean as Bachelor. What about Peter as potential Bachelor?
I think it's easier to pull off a guy who's a little bland as The Bachelor, because the women really are the stars of that show.
Mm-hmm. So Peter falls in line with that.
Yeah, so I could do that. I'm not opposed to it.
Right. Yeah,
if
I can
my
see
choices
that.
Are Peter and Brian, give me 14 and a half Peters, like.
For sure. Maybe that's his shoe size. 14 and a half Peter.
Girl.
You know, they're not in the bios anymore. How do we know? Oh, wow. anything that stood out to you in the previews?
I got really excited for a second because I was like, oh, they're meeting Rachel's family. This means final two. Oh, Brian hasn't shown up yet. And then they show like a moment with all three of them. I'm like, shit.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to put it together. Like, I guess they're just showing things from the rest of the season. Because at first I thought, are they meeting the family? Or did they all three meet the family?
Yeah, all three met the family.
Okay, so they're just kind of switching things up. Yeah, because they showed, I think, all of them. Something to do with all of them. Of course, they can splice and dice and who knows. But
yeah.
But yeah, they're going to Spain, so that should be exciting. And we're working on finding a guest, securing our guests. We have some plans for the Mental All episode in 2 weeks.
We haven't
weeks.
Told them about it yet, but no, we'll get around to it.
It'll be a good one. And let's see, we've got questions. So, of course, we have a draft, but...
We're not doing that.
George tried to spin it where it's like...
No, we're not doing
that. Yeah, Brian's winning, or, you know, these... No. All of the points that Mike's team had, like, each contestant has pretty much more points than us now, so it's, this is too sad, but thank you at George CTV for keeping track for us, even though we don't want to know the results anymore. So
no, we don't.
You can check individually. So we will get to questions after this short break. All right, Haley, let's dive into these wonderful questions.
Let's dive in, let the good times roll. Nothing feels better than letting go. Just dive in. What Disney star sang that song? Someone tweet me.
Okay, because I don't know. It's past my zillennial, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Brain. Okay. From Facebook, Matthew Schmaltz asks, if Rachel picks Brian, is it all right to say Rachel failed as the Bachelorette?
I don't think it's fair to say that, because I think in every other aspect, she was a pretty good Bachelorette. What percentage would you count picking the right guy adds up for?
What does right guy mean? Like
40%.
The right,
like the guy we want her to pick.
Oh yeah, because I mean there's the guy that, like, I wanted Andy to pick Nick, but she picked Josh, and like he proposed and they lasted for a little bit, you know. And I don't know, like, is right, like, the right one for them, or...
No, it's the right one for us.
Right one for us. Because that makes it more satisfying for us.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, 30 or 40%.
Yeah, I wouldn't go above 40. Because that's just, like, such a minuscule part of the season, frankly.
Mm-hmm. And if you think about it, like, let's say... So, I wanted Andy to pick Nick, because I like Nick, but then we got more of Nick. Him not being picked. So if you're like, if she picks Brian and you weren't a Brian fan, then it's like, okay, so they ride off into the sunset and we can like
give us more
to know these other characters. Yeah,
just sell them on eBay,
right? Yeah, because I think she's been really strong as the Bachelorette, and just
I agree, I think
really
she's
well.
Been probably one of my favorites as the lead.
Yes, and I think we're in good company of like not being a fan of Brian, because on Caitlin's podcast, she also was like, I just don't buy it. I don't buy what he's selling. So I was like, okay, I think she has a good read on character as well. But of course, we don't wish that if she does end up with Brian.
No,
we don't
not.
Wish that on her. We hope that it's like, yeah, he's like ready to settle wonderful. Down. All right. Alex Conway. Did you catch Olga's split second disapproving frown when Brian said Rachel's the one?
First of all, congratulations, Alex, on your recent marriage.
Ooh, congrats.
Second of all, yes, amazing.
Yeah. So much can be said in just a quick look from his mom, I think. Bree Golden, is there any point in watching now that sweet Deanie baby is gone?
No, just let's all shut off our TVs now. No, I'm kidding. Of course, there's lots of point in watching.
Yeah, and there's always his Instagram account. That he has quite a following.
He's not super active on it, though.
No, but he does have good posts.
Yeah.
Stephanie Sebo McEwen, or McKeown, probably all wrong. But do the producers actually have a soul?
No, of course they don't. Like, come on. And neither do we for talking about this week after week either. So
true. Another question about Dean from Megan Elizabeth in the patron group. How shocked were you both that Dean went home? I definitely thought it was going to be Brian or Eric going this episode, and they got the first two roses. Oh, interesting. She thought Brian.
Yeah, I thought Brian too, to be honest with you. Based on previews alone, because I feel like we didn't see much of him in the preview last week.
Okay.
Because I feel like we saw like Eric in Spain and like Peter in Spain. I thought we saw Dean in Spain too. So I was like, hallelujah.
Maybe he comes back.
Dean is way too cool to like come back.
Yeah, and they've already announced him as on Bachelor in Paradise. So,
yeah. Amy, do you think that would stop them? They announced Rachel as the Bachelorette in week two.
I forgot already.
And she was in the final three.
Oh, so annoying. Yeah, that's terrible. My goodness. We're like, oh yeah, then she's definitely going home on hometowns.
Nope.
Alicia J. Rosen, since two of the final four met Rachel on the After the Final Rose, do you think that having had that early introduction gave them an advantage? Do you think, given the results, the marketing stunt was successful? And given the results, do you think this will be the new norm for the franchises? So I forgot. I mean, I knew
I
that
Eric. Yeah, because it's funny because
we hated Dean.
We hated Dean.
We liked Eric then, but
I forgot. I forgot Eric was there.
Yeah.
But during his hometown, it was like Rachel was like, "Ooh, tell him how we him how we met." It's like,
it's kind of a cool story.
Did they see it? It was live. It happened.
Right. They had to set it up. I guess maybe.
But why?
I don't know.
That makes no sense because they saw it.
Right. That's true. It was live.
They saw it happen.
And then they did the dance with him.
Even if they didn't have it on their television at that moment, I'm sure someone called him up and said, "Hey, did you know Eric was on TV tonight?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right. I think they just had to set it, like, the producer's like, okay, you have to reset it for the audience. And
you have to remind people that this is how you met.
Right. So he kind of talked about how he got the call to sort of, like, that's...
Like, not I'm interested in hearing, right. though, but I would have loved to be like, oh, we saw you on TV. Tell us about how you got chosen for that, you know, rather than like, tell them how we met, because they definitely saw it.
Yeah. So you guys saw. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we learned that it was a Monday and then, which we knew because that's when it aired, and then they didn't film till Thursday. So he got the advance. I didn't really put it together that it was two of the final four. I think it definitely helped them on night one. Because DeMario was another one of them. And
all Blake. Four guys stayed, right?
Right. So I think they got points for just like being brave and doing that. Not that they had a choice, really, but just.
And it's way easier to remember four guys than 34.
Yeah, definitely. And but other than that, I mean, I think like I don't know that it was a huge advantage. But I think they might try it out again. What do you think?
Oh, God, I hope not. I hated it.
Yeah.
But they do everything we hate. So, of course, they're going to do it again.
Right. Will Holston, I had to work again this week, so I missed the episode. But based on the image, do you think Dean was sent home because in some small part, Rachel hates bow ties? Something to keep an eye on going forward.
Well, you need to quit your job.
Yes. But they're actually, Diggy tweeted this, too, that he was like, if you're me or Dean, don't wear, let me see if I can get the right tweet, but don't wear a bow tie or you will get eliminated. So I said, is there a bow tie curse? And does one of our listeners want to investigate this?
I like a bow tie.
I do too.
It's fun and it's different.
Yeah.
Ties are boring.
Right.
Bow ties are fun. And I like Dean's like bluish suit too.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a like a cobalt blue suit all day, every day.
Ooh, cobalt. That is a good color.
Great color.
Yeah. What was the color that you liked of way back when? This is a deep cut, but Dylan from Andy's season. It was like the Cape Cod shorts. Was it like kind of a pink short?
I love like a pink short or like a teal short or like a mint green short.
Yeah. The Cape Cod look.
Give me pastels. Men wearing pastels really does it for me. Pastels and jewel tones.
Yeah, any kind of like bold color choice. Did you like, if you remember Alex on this season, who had like, we talked a little bit about
I loved his choices. Pants. He had like purple pants all the time. I was super in.
Hashtag purple pants badass.
Yeah, I was in on that.
Yeah, so I think you have to do something like
Hawaiian
that to stand
shirts
out.
Too.
Oh, yeah, that is fun.
If someone came on night one wearing a Hawaiian shirt,
ooh.
They would get an automatic rose from me. Not even just like the first impression rose, just be like, great. Great idea, sir.
What if they
Here
do?
You go.
If they did that, I feel like they'd do like the get laid move. So that might work with Caitlyn because it's a pun.
That's true.
But yeah, I feel like they'd pull it
and
over.
And I would say, later days.
Brian Altschul wants to know, do you think the producers were apprehensive about meeting with Dean's family, or are they all about the drama regardless of their
word apprehensive?
Haley Strong interrupting the question, just like
no
option
not.
A
no they weren't
no they were like we are apprehensive about Dean make it to Final Four.
There's a guy in a turban. Let's see what we can have with this.
Oh my goodness. Obviously his brothers must have like been totally normal conversation because they didn't show them at all. They're just like, nope, we can only show conflict here.
Probably.
Will Holston again. Who would you be most terrified to meet? Rachel's father, JoJo's brothers, or the person who constructed Adam Jr.? Because we know Adam Sr. didn't make him. Oh my goodness. Just a ding, marry, kill situation.
I would have probably said, JoJo's brothers. But you're right about the Adam Jr. doll. That's terrifying. And whoever made that is probably a murderer.
Right, because that's an unknown person, whereas the other ones we've seen on TV. Yeah. Rachel's dad would be
intimidating. And they made a creepy doll.
Yeah. Ben, actually, on the podcast.
Yeah, Rachel's dad would be intimidating.
Yeah.
But he's, like, intelligent. Yeah. Where, like, JoJo's brothers both seem like dumbasses. And so you don't want to reason with, like, an angry dumbass.
And actually, I take it back because we didn't see Rachel's father because he was too smart to be on TV. We didn't meet him yet, right? So I just have a vision in my mind. But it looks like he's going to be there for this. I suppose when they decide on your daughter as bachelorette, you have to agree. But I remember Ben saying to Ashley I on their podcast that he, like, JoJo's brothers did have an impact. Sometimes we think, oh, the tough brothers, they just play that up and it's not really a factor. But, you know, he said it played into, like, his decision. Like, they did not like me and they were like, I didn't vibe with them. So,
yeah.
Alex Wilpon says, based on just their families, who should be the next bachelor? In other words, which family do you want to see again? Okay, my answer would be Eric's.
Same, absolutely. Eric's family was great.
Yeah. Amanda Danforth, do you think the order we see on TV is the same order Rachel visits the hometowns? And if so, do you think that has any effect on prior bachelor or bachelorette decisions?
I don't know. It's hard for me because we're always a little skeptical that we're seeing things in the order that they happened in Hometown Week and in Fantasy Suite Week.
Right.
There was some language used in this episode where it was like, oh, you went to go see Eric's family first. What did you think? That could have easily been done like, oh, well, we're going to do every scenario, so we'll just pick the one, or dubbed over in post-production or something.
Right. This makes sense in terms of like flight patterns, I would say, because it's like Baltimore, then you go down to Miami. Or maybe Miami makes more sense first. Miami, then Baltimore, then Wisconsin, then Aspen, and then you go to Dallas.
Because either way, you're doing like a square. Yeah. Oh, did they end up in Dallas for the rose ceremony? Because I was wondering if they had or not.
Hang out at home for a little bit? I don't think they would let her do that. Maybe she had a... Hey, and what
happened... She's a bachelor. She can do what she wants.
What happened to Copper? Where is he?
Is Copper?
Oh, gosh, I just thought of that. Emily Crow, is Peter being that unreasonable about his hesitations about proposing after 3 weeks? I'm thinking that Rachel wants a proposal so much that she won't go with the best guy on the board, and that's a shame.
I mean, is he unreasonable? Of course not. We had a tagline to our podcast, it would be like, the people who are making the most sense are often projected as the least reasonable people. But...
Right.
I don't know. Like I said before, I think he's going to end up being fine with it anyway. This is just part of his story.
Yeah. The people who have hesitations about like, oh, I don't want to air this all on TV, or I don't want to rush things, they're either just going to get cut right away, or they're just going to seem like they're not opening up, or they're not ready, and they're really just being like trying to play it as like, if this was real life, this is how it would go as much as possible.
Yeah.
Emily also wants to know, was Dean's dad really more of a red flag than Brian's terrifying mother who actually threatened to kill her?
I agree with you. Yeah, that's more intimidating to me than like Dean's father who like genuinely welcomed Rachel into his home and where
and isn't Brian, a day
Brian's
presence.
Mother went through more of like a vetting process. Yeah, like Brian's mother is going to be on the phone with Brian every single day, if not twice a day.
Just be in your biz all the
Have
time.
Have fun getting Brian to move to Dallas.
Oh, yeah. That was really one of her big issues. She was like, I don't want anyone taking my baby away. And yeah, I mean, Rachel is open to moving, but she's also looking for someone who is open to moving with her as well. Like making the right decision for them. Justin Feinberg. Like Will, I've not gotten to catch the episode yet, but I am curious as to whether or not Haley still thinks Michael has a chance to propose to Rachel. Is he really a night one eliminated contestant, or has he just gotten a more invisible edit than Matt?
Yeah, he still has a chance. He always has a chance.
Maybe we should do our draft with Michael.
Oh my god, Diggy, if you are listening to this episode, can you get us Michael's number?
That would be like the best. Just like almost so random. Funny. Like Chris Harrison said I was on this date, so yeah. We need someone who just like really doesn't understand The Bachelor and just was not there.
Really, because we tried that this season.
Oh, that's true.
So we need like a super fan.
We need an insider.
Can we find that guy who was the super fan on like JoJo season? Oh my
gosh. He'd probably be dying to do it. He's probably listening right now. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name.
I assume it was a Jonathan or something like that.
Oh yeah. One of those.
All the weirdos are Jonathans.
Yeah, I am curious about that Jonathan tickle monster. Like what kept him there that long?
That he was like not a murderer. He was, and that's shocking.
Yeah.
Like, oh, the Tickle Monster is not a murderer? Are we sure?
I want Tickle Monster to show up in Paradise.
I think he's going to. I see it. Yeah, I do. I see it happening.
Yeah, I think they'd enjoy the tickle effect. Something quirky. You know, they need someone like that. They need like their Ashley S. So he could be the male version of that.
Bring the giant hands to Paradise.
Yeah. They'd like collect frolic like spiders in the ocean and stuff. With it. Yeah, floaties.
Oh my god, yes.
You could like educate, like, hands where I can see them, everybody, like, new rules in Paradise.
That's no, we can't do that. No, shut it down.
So that's it for questions.
Yeah, that's it. Then that's it for our entire podcast. You'll never hear from us again. We've been canceled.
Yeah. So, Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at hstrong_ or Snapchat hstrong28. I didn't get any Doug takes this week because Doug is on vacation in British Columbia for his birthday. So happy belated birthday, Doug.
Very nice. Yeah, and you can find me at RHAP Recapper, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.